Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 7, The Descendants of King Mandata, and we continue reading from text 8. Harish Chandra had no son and was therefore extremely morose. Once, therefore, following the advice of Narada, he took shelter of Varuna and said to him, "My Lord, I have no son. Would you kindly give me one?" King Parikshit, O King Parikshit, Harishchandra begged Varuna, "My Lord, if a son is born to me, with that son I shall perform a sacrifice for your satisfaction." When Harishchandra said this, Varuna replied, "Let it be so." Because of Varuna's benediction, Harishchandra begot a son named Rohita. Thereafter, when the child was born, Varuna approached Harishchandra and said, "Now you have a son. With this son you can offer me a sacrifice." In answer to this, Harishchandra said, "After 10 days have passed since an animal's birth, the animal becomes fit to be sacrificed." After 10 days, Varuna came again and said to Harishchandra, "Now you can perform the sacrifice." Harishchandra replied, "When an animal grows teeth, then it becomes pure enough to be sacrificed." When the teeth grew, Varuna came and said to Harishchandra, "Now the animal has grown teeth, and you can perform the sacrifice." Harishchandra replied, "When all his teeth have fallen out, then it will be fit for sacrifice." When the teeth had fallen out, Varuna returned and said to Harishchandra, "Since the animal's teeth have fallen out, then you can perform the sacrifice." But Harishchandra replied, "When the animal's teeth have grown in again, then he'll be pure enough to be sacrificed." When the teeth grew in again, Varuna came and said to Harishchandra, "Now you can perform the sacrifice." But Harishchandra said, "O king, when the sacrificial animal becomes a kshatriya, is able to shield himself to fight with the enemy, then he will be purified." Harishchandra was certainly very attached to his son. Because of this affection, he asked the demigod Varuna to wait. As Varuna waited and waited for the time to come, Rohita could understand that his father intended to offer him as an animal for sacrifice. Therefore, just to save himself from death, he equipped himself with bow and arrows, went to the forest. When Rohita heard that his father had been attacked by dropsy due to Varuna, and that his abdomen had grown very large, he wanted to return to the capital, but King Indra forbade him to do so. King Indra advised Rohita to travel to different pilgrimage sites and holy places, for such activities are pious indeed. Following this instruction, Rohita went to the forest for 1 year. In this way, at the end of the second, third, fourth, and fifth year, when Rohita wanted to return to his capital, the king of heaven, Indra, approached him as an old brahmana and forbade him to return, repeating the same words as in the previous year. Thereafter, in the sixth year, after wandering the forest, Rohita returned to the capital of his father. He purchased from Ajigartha his second son, named Sunashepa. Then he offered Sunashepa to his father, Harishchandra, to be used as a sacrificial animal, and offered Harishchandra his respectful obeisances. Prabhupada, it appears in those days a man could be purchased for any purpose. Harishchandra was in need of a person to sacrifice as the animal in a yajna, and thus fulfill his promise to Varuna. And a man was purchased from another man for this purpose. Millions of years ago, animal sacrifice and slave trade both existed. Indeed, they have existed since time immemorial. Don't ask me to explain it. I can't explain it. Thereafter, the famous King Harishchandra, one of the exalted persons in history, performed grand sacrifices by sacrificing a man and pleased all the demigods. In this way, his dropsy created by Varuna was cured. Well, one thing we should know at least is that anything or anyone offered in sacrifice becomes purified. So it is said that if an animal, such as a cow or a bull or a horse, is offered in sacrifice under the proper Vedic mantras, then the cow gets the human form of life. Or at least the body becomes revised and they get a young, fresh body. So therefore, if under proper sacrificial rites, even if a person is sacrificed, then he'll be elevated to a higher birth in his next lifetime. But in this age, sacrifice of a bull or a cow or a horse is forbidden, as taking sannyas, then a man giving a child to his brother's wife. So these things are forbidden because no one can perform the proper sacrifices in this age. Text 22. In that great human sacrifice, Vishvamrita was the chief priest to offer oblations, and the perfectly self-realized Jamadagni had the responsibility for chanting the mantras from the Yajurveda. Vishista was the chief rabbinical priest, and the sage Agastya was the reciter of the hymns of the Samaveda. King Indra, being very pleased with Harishchandra, offered him a gift of a golden chariot. Soon, Shepa's glories will be presented along with a description of the son of Vishvamrita. Well, that should be interesting to find out the glories of someone who was sacrificed. So let's go on and read. Maybe you'll get up to that. Find out. The great sage Vishvamrita saw that Maharaj Harishchandra, along with his wife, was truthful, forbearing and concerned with his essence. Thus he gave them imperishable knowledge for fulfillment of the human mission. Maharaj Harishchandra first purified his mind, which was full of material enjoyment, by amalgamating it with the earth. Then he amalgamated the earth with water, the water with fire, the fire with the air with the sky. Thereafter he amalgamated the sky with the total material energy, and the total material energy with spiritual knowledge. This material knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is realization of oneself as part of the Supreme Lord. When the self-realized soul, spiritual soul, is engaged in the service of the Lord, he is eternally imperceptible and inconceivable. Thus established in spiritual knowledge, he is completely free from material bondage. And we continue on with the story leading up to Krishna's appearance. This is chapter 9, text number 8. The sons of Sagara meet Lord Kapila, Dave. Shukadeva Goswami continued, the son of Rahita was Harita, and Harita's son was Kampa, constructed the town of Kampapuri. The son of Kampa was Sudeva, and his son was Vijaya. The son of Vijaya was Baruka. Baruka's son was Riksha, and Riksha's son was Bahuka. Actually, the other son was Baruka, and this is Bahuka. The enemies of King Bahuka took away all his possessions, and therefore the king entered the order of Vanaprastha and went to the forest with his wife. Bahuka died when he was old, and one of his wives wanted to die with him, following the Sati rite. That time, however, Aurava Muni, knowing her to be pregnant, forbade her to die. Knowing that she was pregnant, the co-wives of the wife of Bahuka conspired to give her poison with her food, but it did not act. Instead, the son was born along with the poison. Therefore, he became as famous as Sagara, one who was born with poison. Sagara later became the emperor. The place known as Ganga Sagara was excavated with it by his sons. Sagara Muni, following the order of his spiritual master, Horva, did not kill the uncivilized men like the Talajangas, Yavanas, Shakas, Haihayas, and Barbaras. Instead, some of them he made dress awkwardly, some of them he shaved clean, but allowed to wear mustaches, some of them he left wearing loose hair, some he half-shaved, some he left without underwear, and some without external garments. Thus, these different clans were made to dress differently, but King Sagara did not kill them. Following the instructions of the great sage Aurava, Sagara Muni performed Ashvamedha sacrifices, and thus he satisfied the Supreme Lord, who is the Supreme Controller, the Supersoul of all learned scholars, and the knower of all Vedic knowledge, the personality of Godhead. But Indra, the King of Heaven, stole the horses meant to be offered at the sacrifice. King Sargara had two wives, Sumati and Keshini. The sons of Sumati, who were very proud of their prowess and influence, following the order of their father, searched for the lost horse. While doing so, they dug into the earth very extensively. Thereafter, in the northern direction, they saw the horse near the ashram of Kapila Muni. "Here is the man who's stolen the horse," they said. "He is staying there with closed eyes. Certainly, he is very sinful. Kill him! Kill him!" Shouting like this, the sons of Sagara, 60,000 altogether, raised their weapons. When they approached the sage opened his eyes. By the influence of Indra, King of Heaven, the sons of Sagara had lost their intelligence and disrespected a great personality. Consequently, fire emanated from their own bodies and they were immediately burned to ashes. Purport. Material body is a combination of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. There is already fire within the body, and our practical experience is that the heat of this fire sometimes increases and sometimes decreases. The fire within the bodies of the sages of sons, with the body within the body, the fire within the bodies of the sons of Sarga Muni Maharaj became so hot, so much hotter, that all of them burned to ashes. The fires increased. Heat was due to their misbehavior towards the great personality. Such misbehavior is called Maha Yatikrama. They were killed by the fire of their own bodies because of insulting a great personality. Purport. Don't offend devotees. Translation. It is sometimes argued that the sons of King Sagara were burned to ashes by the fire emanating from the eyes of Kapila Muni. This statement, however, is not approved by great learned scholar persons. For Kapila Muni's body is completely in the mode of goodness, and therefore cannot manifest the mode of ignorance in the form of anger, just as the pure sky cannot be polluted by the dust of the earth. Translation. Kapila Muni enunciated in this material world, the Sankhya philosophy, which is a strong boat with which to cross over the ocean of nations. Indeed, a person eager to cross the ocean of the material world may take shelter of this philosophy. In such a greatly learned person, situated on the elevated platform of transcendence, how can there be any distinction between enemy and friend? Purport. One who is promoted to the transcendental position, Brahma Buddha, is always jubilant, prasannatma. He is unaffected by the false distinctions between good and bad in the material world. Thereafter, such an exalted person is Sarmak Saveshu Bhuteshu. That is to say, he is equal toward everyone, not distinguishing between friend and enemy, because he is on the absolute platform, free from material contamination. He is called Paramatma Buddha or Brahma Buddha. Kapila Muni, therefore, was not at all angry at the sons of Sagar Muni. Rather, they were burned to ashes by the heat of their own bodies. Among the sages, sons of Sagar Muni, was one named Asamanjasa, who was born from the king's second wife, Keshini. The son of Asmanjasa was known as Amsuman, and he was always engaged in working for the good of Sargara Maharaj, his grandfather. Formerly, in his previous birth, Asamanjasa had been a great mystic yogi, but by bad association, he had fallen from his exalted position. Now in this life, he was born in a royal family and was a Jatismara. That is, he had the special advantage of being able to remember his past birth. Nonetheless, he wanted to display himself as a miscreant, and therefore he would do things that were abominable in the eyes of the public and unfavorable to his relatives. He would disturb the boys sporting in the river by throwing them in the deep depths of the water. Because Asamanjasa engaged in such abominable activities, his father gave up affection for him and had him exiled. When Asamanjasa exhibited his mystic power by reviving the boys and showing them to the king and their parents, after this, Asamanjasa left Ayodhya. Prabhupada, Asamanjasa was a Jatismara. Because of his mystic power, he did not forget his previous consciousness. Thus he could give life to the dead. By exhibiting wonderful activities in relation to the dead children, he certainly attracted the attention of the king, people in general, and he left the place immediately. O King Parikshit, when all the inhabitants of Ayodhya saw that their boys had come back to life, they were astonished, and King Sagara greatly lamented the absence of his son. Thereafter, Angsumam, the grandson of Maharaj Sagara, was ordered by the king to search for the horse. Following the same path traversed by his uncles, Angsumam gradually reached the stack of ashes and found the horse nearby. The great Angsumam saw the sage Kapila, named Kapila, the saint who is an incarnation of Vishnu, sitting there by the horse. Angsuman offered him respectful obeisances, folded his hands, and offered him prayers with great attention. Angsuman said, "Oh, my Lord, even Brahman is to this very day unable to understand your position, which is far beyond himself, either by meditation or by mental speculation. So what to speak of others like us, who have been created by Brahma in various forms as demigods, animals, human beings, birds and beasts. We are completely in ignorance. Therefore, how can we know you, who are the transcendence?" Purport. Icha dvesha samudena dvandva mohena bharata sarabhutani samoham sargeyanti parantava. O son of Saina Bharata, O conqueror of foes, all living entities are born into delusion or overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. All living beings in the material world are influenced by the three modes of material nature. Even Brahma is in the mode of goodness. Similarly, the demigods are generally in the mode of passion. And living entities lower than demigods, such as human beings and animals, are in the mode of ignorance or in a mixed mode. Goodness, passion, ignorance. Therefore, Amsuman wanted to explain that because his uncles had been burned to ashes, were under the mode of material nature, they could not understand Lokapila Dev. because you are beyond even the direct and indirect intelligence of Lord Brahma. He prayed, unless we are enlightened by your lordship, it will not be possible for us to understand you. Tapi te deva padambujam dvaya prasada lesha nugrihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahimno nachanyam ekopi jaram vichinvan. My Lord, one who is favored even by a slight trace of your mercy, of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. For those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can be understood by one who is favored by the Lord. The Lord cannot be understood by others. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tadamane Namaste Sarasatundeva Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Vasa Amsumam is glorifying Lord Kapila Dev, that he's beyond our material conception. Because as Krishna says, Naham Prakasha Sarvasha Yogamaya Samavrita Mudoyam Navijananti Lokoyam Ajum Avyam, that I've never manifested I've never manifested to the foolish and unintelligent, them I'm covered by my creative potency, Yogamaya, unborn and inexhaustible. So though Krishna is everywhere, including within our hearts, and although everything moves under Krishna's direction, still those who are covered by the material energy cannot perceive Krishna. But it's possible to perceive Krishna to some extent by cultivation of knowledge. Just like when the sun comes up in the morning, we may not directly see the sun, but because the sunlight enters into the room, we know that the sun is there. So in one sense, we can see the sun through the sunlight. So in the same way, we may not directly see the form, the original form of Krishna, as Gopal and Vrindavan, still we can understand how by his expansions he's moving the sun in its orbit, he's in our heart giving us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. He becomes the fire of digestion within our stomach, and therefore by his energy he digests the five kinds of foodstuff. So we can see how Krishna by how he's working. Just like if someone takes a stick and hits you, they cannot claim that they're not hitting you, that only the stick is hitting you. No. The person who's controlling the stick is actually the one who's hitting. Similarly, Krishna is controlling everything, both material and spiritual, and therefore everything has a direct or indirect relation with Krishna. Amsuman understood that because obviously he had some transcendental knowledge. That Lord Kapila Dev was not an ordinary personality. Unfortunately, his uncles had mistaken Kapila Dev to be an ordinary personality who had stolen the horse which just happened to wander near Kapila Dev. And therefore, by their own misdeed, they were burnt to ashes. But Angsamam, out of his causes mercy, wanted to save his uncle. So this is the beginning of the story of the Ganges coming to this planet. So these are all part of Krishna's pastimes. This one particularly to bring the Ganges to this planet so that we could all become purified. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? These are not highly philosophical parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are stories with a little bit of philosophy. And now, for the next, the whole ninth canto is practically all stories. Tenth canto is all stories. And the 11th canto is philosophy. So, we'll hear about Lord Ramachandra, we'll hear about many different pastimes, and then we'll hear about Krishna's pastimes. So tune in for the next story. There's one question here.
Sometimes devotees read more details. There's more details about this story of Harishchandra in some Puranas. And should we do this or?
Not necessarily. Mostly we'll get confused. Because Puranas, there are three Puranas in the mode of ignorance, three Puranas in the mode of passion, three Puranas in the mode of goodness. And they're all seeing things from a different point of view. But we have our Bhagavatam, which is transcendental. So this is the most authoritative explanation of the story, rather than confusing ourselves with other kind of stories. Until you can remember it by heart, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, better stick with the Bhagavatam. And when you can recite the Bhagavatam like Shukadeva Goswami, then you're eligible to go on to other things. Kala Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.